Let's keep our Bible open to our text this evening. Hebrews chapter 11. Abraham, a man of faith. In fact, Abraham is called the father of faith. For he believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham believed God. He was a believer. He was also called a friend of God. Are you a friend of God? Do we want to be friends of God? If we want to be a friend of God, then we must be men and women of faith. That is the requirement. For without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For they that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Do we have faith? And if we have faith, what kind of faith? Is it true faith or false faith? Is it weak faith or strong faith? What is faith? Of late, I've been sorely tested. My faith has been sorely tested. And I think you know what I'm talking about. This is public knowledge. It is in our papers. 1st July 2010, Straits Times. Church wins suit to evict Bible College. This church we know very well. It is Life BP Church. Mother of all BP churches, very first BP church. And the Bible College is a Far Eastern Bible College, founded by the founding pastor of the church and the founding father of the BP movement. And when you read the news, how did you respond? How did you react? I pray none of us have sinned against God with our mind, with our heart, with our lips. It's easy to talk about trusting in the Lord, having faith in God, believing in Him when times are good, when things are going well. But when things are not going well for us, and in trying situations, do we question God? Do we doubt Him? It's easy for us to start questioning God. It's easy for us to start doubting God when times are bad. I pray none of us have started to doubt God. God, where are you? Why has this happened? Do you exist? Is your word true? Why are you not keeping your promises? Do we question God like this? May we never, never think of God in such ways. We thank God for the trials and testings that come our way, because God has a purpose. He wants to try us. He wants to prove us. He wants to test our faith. Do we have genuine faith or not? Is our faith mature or not? Is it strong faith or is it weak faith? And how we need to build up our faith, strengthen our faith. And the way whereby God does this is not only through His Word, but many experiences that He will allow us to go through, so that we will know more and more about Him and how we can live a life pleasing in His sight by exercising the faith He has given unto us. How we must have the shield of faith in such times to ward against Satan's attacks, attacking us with doubt and fears. We must trust the Lord And we believe that God is sovereign. Don't we believe that God is King of Kings, Lord of Lords? He's sovereign. He's all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-present. He controls history. He orders the events of this world and also the things that happen in our life. Don't we believe that? I'm sure we do. He is sovereign. He is still on His throne. And He's also a God of providence. He is still in control. No doubt about it. And so in such times we pray for wisdom. Lord, why? What is your purpose? What do you want me to learn from all these things? And in such difficult days and hard times, dear friends, we must be a people of faith. We must be a people of faith. Our faith must shine brightly. And if we want to please God, faith is what pleases Him. We must believe that He is, He exists, He is in control, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So will you still believe and trust in the Lord in times of sickness and suffering? In times of poverty and want? In times of persecution and affliction? God will put all these things in our life to try us. And God tells us that we must count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations, all these testings and trials that come our way. For He has a good purpose for all these things, to prove our faith, to cause us to mature in our faith, that we might cultivate and develop patience, endurance, perseverance in our faith, that we might have enduring and persevering faith. And so what is faith, you may ask? We can learn a whole lot about faith from the life of Abraham. And through Abraham's example, from the text that we have just read, we learn these three things about faith. Firstly, we learn that faith is taking God at His word. Faith is taking God at His word. In verse 8 we read, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place where he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and went out not knowing whither he went." By faith Abraham obeyed. He obeyed. Faith is obedience. Obedience to God's word, taking God at His word. We read of the call of Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. And in Genesis 12, verse 1, we read, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee." God simply told Abraham to move. To move to a place that He has prepared for him, without telling him precisely where. And this is remarkable. Do you have the kind of faith that Abraham had? God just told him to move, to go to a place He will show, but God did not tell him this is the address. And he didn't know what kind of place it would be, but God simply gave the command, pack up and go, move. And we are told, Abraham simply obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. Not knowing. When God told Abraham, move, Abraham did not ask God, God, exactly where? You know, when we want to buy a house, right, buy a property, we want to make sure we do our research. We want to be very sure where we are going to stay, right? The facilities around, the amenities, is it near the MRT? We do all our research to make sure that we move to a good location. We want to know all the facts. We'll ask a lot of questions. We'll do our research. But here, when God told Abraham, you move, Abraham did not ask God, God, exactly where? The place that I move to, well, are there these comforts or luxuries? I mean, what kind of place? Without any question, he simply trusted in his God. And he knew his God was a good God. And every good and perfect gift comes from God, from heaven above. What God says he must do must surely be a good thing. No questions asked, no doubting. He simply trusted and went and obeyed God. That is the kind of faith God wants us to have. Trust him totally, fully, without doubt, without question. It is obedience. Full, complete obedience. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. True faith is obedient faith. And I like what Dr. Raymond Sachs had said about faith. Faith is taking God at his word. God says it, that settles it. And our duty is what? Is simply to believe it. Right? Because God knows all things. And so we trust in his knowledge. We trust his word. We take God at his word. And that's why also we believe in how the whole universe began. Our beginnings. Our origins. How did the whole universe come into existence? We were not there about 6,000 years ago. But we know what happened because God said so in his word. Why do we believe that the whole universe was created out of nothing by the power of God's word in 6 literal 24-hour days? I trust you believe that. Do you believe that? I believe that. On what basis? On the basis of what God himself said in Genesis chapter 1, right? On the basis of his word. And that's why in Hebrews 11 and verse 3, it says here, through faith we understand. We understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. We take God at his word. And if the world contradicts God's word, if the world outside, the people outside, the scholars outside, the scientists outside contradict God's word, what God has said about his creation and the things around us, who do we believe? Well, the Bible tells us, let God be true, every man a liar. I believe God because he is all-knowing. Man is not all-knowing. Man is fallible. God is infallible. His word is infallible. And we rest secure in his word. Faith is taking God at his word. And here, Abraham simply obeyed God and listened to what God had told him to do. And you know, his faith is all the more remarkable when we consider the kind of place that he left. Now, he was living in Ur of the Chaldees. Now, the city of Ur was not some ulu village, obscure kampung. No. Ur of the Chaldees was one of the great centers of ancient civilization in the ancient Near East. It would be equivalent to modern London or New York. It was the London or New York of the ancient Near East in those days. A very modern, sophisticated city with walls surrounding the city, and the walls were 30 feet high. And then brick houses, two stories, with water pipes, plumbing facilities, and flushing toilets. Please don't think that only we have toilets that can flush. In those days, they already had it. And Abraham was living in such a luxurious, a wealthy, a comfortable city. He was there. And not only that, Abraham was not a poor man. He was a rich man, a wealthy man. For the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 12, verse 16, that he had sheep and oxen and he asses, and men servants and maid servants, and she asses and camels. So he had a lot of possessions. A wealthy man. And in Genesis 14, verse 14, we are told that he had trained servants, 318 of them. So he could be regarded as, you know, a CEO or a GM in his day. And now, living in such wealth and luxury and comfort in Ur of the Chaldees, with all the possessions that he had, with all the people that he governed or controlled that were serving him, and God told him, now move! You think it was an easy thing to do? It's not a case of rags to riches. He was already very rich, and God told him to move. This is a risky decision that he's going to make. Potentially it could be from riches to rags. But you know, this was very far from Abraham's mind. He believed in God. He trusted in his God. His word is very good, far better than all these things that I have. And how I'm so glad that he is my God. And he speaks to me. I have a relationship with him. And then he tells me to move. I just move. Without any question, without any doubt. He believed that he had a God who is truthful and faithful. And this God, whom he has believed, knows what he is doing. He is all that he says he is. All powerful, all knowing, all seeing, all present. And he can be fully trusted without question. Do you believe in this God? Do you know and understand God in such a way? If you know and understand God in such a way, then your faith will be strong. Don't look at your circumstances, the things that are around you. Don't look at yourself. Look at God. There may be all the storms and the waves that will come. And Peter looked at the storm, the wind, the wave, and then he began to sing. If only he had just looked at Jesus, paid his attention, had full focus and trust on him, he would continue walking on the water. But he doubted, began to question, and then he sank. How we must have this kind of a faith? Why do we believe that the Bible we have in our hands today is 100% infallible and inerrant without any mistake? Why do we believe that? Simply because God says so. It's so simple. We believe that the Bible is 100% inspired, don't we? And we believe that because 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says so. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. We believe that. 100% inspired. Perfect in the past, without any mistake. Do we have a perfect Bible today? We believe what God says in His words. He promised that He will preserve His words. In fact, there are more verses on preservation than on inspiration. Inspiration, we have one verse in 2 Timothy 3:16. Preservation, so many verses. We have one of our graduates who was conferred his PhD, Doctor of Theology, for a dissertation he wrote on the biblical doctrine of the perfect preservation of the Holy Scriptures. Our brother George Scaria, he's now serving in India. And he did most thorough research, reading from Genesis to Revelation, pulling out all passages that talk about the perfection and the present perfection of the Scriptures, and exegeted all those passages. No less than 50 of them talking about the present infallibility and inerrancy of the Scriptures, according to God's promise. I think you know the verses well, don't you? A couple of them, Psalm 12, 6-7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. God will preserve His words, not just His doctrines, not just His truths, But his very words, verbal preservation, not just verbal inspiration, verbal preservation. I will preserve my words. And he's the one who does it. It's not a man's work, it is God's work. And because it's God's work, it has to be an infallible, inerrant work. Matthew 5:18, till heaven and earth pass, one jot, one tittle shall in no wise pass, no wise disappear from the law, till all be fulfilled. So clear, isn't it? So easy to believe. I take God at His word. Simple, childlike faith. And when you believe in God's word, then you will have wisdom. You will have understanding. Then you will be able to interpret the phenomena that's out there in the world and interpret it with God's mind and interpret it accurately. You see? It is not a new doctrine. This doctrine is called verbal plenary preservation. VPP is as old as the Bible. It is also affirmed by the Westminster Confession of Faith, 1643. Westminster theologians, in no uncertain terms, declared the Old Testament in Hebrew and the New Testament in Greek being immediately inspired by God. That is VPI, verbal plenary inspiration. Being immediately inspired by God, are by His singular care and providence kept pure in all ages. That is VPP, verbal plenary preservation. By His singular care and providence, God has single-handedly, supernaturally, preserved all His inspired words. And the Westminster Divines quoted Matthew 5:18 as the proof text. And these scriptures that we have in our hands today are authentical. What we call the apographs, authentical, genuine, true, infallible, inerrant, you see, and are to be the sole, supreme, final authority of our faith and practice. It all boils down to faith, whether you want to believe or not believe. I want to have the faith of Abraham, to take God at His word, right? So faith is, firstly, taking God at His word. Secondly, faith is willing to suffer for Christ. Faith is willing to suffer for Christ. Now in verse 9 we read, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. You know, as I've already mentioned, Abraham, humanly speaking, had everything to lose if he were to leave Ur of the Chaldees, such a modern, sophisticated, luxurious, wealthy city in those days. He had everything to lose. And he was already a well-established man, a man of means. To pack up and go like this could mean that he would lose all. But Abraham was willing to suffer all these things for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was willing to suffer for his God. And here we are told also that, you know, he went into a strange country, an unfamiliar country. And then he lived as a nomad, wandering from place to place, living in tents. These are temporary shelters, unlike in Ur of the Chaldees. Permanent fixtures and structures, permanent homes, solid, giving you a sense of security. Now he's going to move out, a whole lot of uncertainty, right? There will be insecurity. You're living in tents. Yet he never doubted the veracity of God's word, what God told him to do, and integrity of his God as well. That God always thinks of his good. I mean, we just sang the hymn, all things work together for good. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And if God has called you, then he has a good plan for your life. God has called you to be a Christian, thank God for it. And once he called you, you can be very sure he has a good plan for your life. All things, All things means all things. Good things, bad things, good happenings, bad happenings in our life. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Abraham was called, and so he went out. And although he might have to suffer for Christ, he was willing to do that. That is faith. Faith is being willing to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ, your God and your Savior. And he knew that God in His own good time will fulfill His purpose and His plan in His life. And he just waits on the Lord. He keeps hoping in the Lord. That is faith. Do we have this kind of a faith? Often the time, we are very impatient people. If God does not hear my prayer and answer me now, I won't believe on Him. We keep on praying and praying and hoping. And God has His own time. His timing is the best. We wait on Him, we hope on Him. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That is faith. Do we have that kind of patience that Abraham had? We must. Willing also to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, if we want to live godly lives today and be obedient to the truth, we may have to suffer persecution and affliction. The Lord already warned us that in the last days, there'll be persecution, opposition to the faith. The love of many will grow cold. There will be a falling away from the faith. People's faith is going to be tested. Many today claim to be Christian. I'm Christian, I'm Christian. But then when the test comes, you'll find that their faith is an empty faith, not true faith. And when testing and trials come in your life and you're able and willing to suffer for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's a good sign. That shows that there's one evidence that you belong to the Lord. You are a true believer. You're part of God's family. You will have a good end. You'll be found in your eternal home. You'll see Jesus Christ face to face. Many a time people ask, how do I know I'm saved? You know when the Lord sends trials and testings in your life. How do you express your faith and demonstrate your faith in such times? When you keep on believing, you keep on enduring, and you are patient in the Lord, trusting in Him, never doubting Him, never questioning Him, following the Lord, denying self, taking up your own cross of suffering and shame, and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, then the Holy Spirit gives you that assurance in your heart. You are a child of God, you see. It's for our benefit that the Lord allows us to go through such things. And the Lord, at this point in time, in His call to Abraham, was putting Abraham to the test as well. Move. I'm not going to give you the details. Are you prepared to suffer in this move? And Abraham was willing. Willing to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the third thing we know about faith, what is faith, is this. Faith is desiring for spiritual and not material wealth. Now, in verse 10, we read, Abraham, he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And then in verse 13 through 16, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. When Abraham obeyed God, to leave his home country to a place that he would show him. He was not thinking of wealth, material wealth or riches. Right? I'll have more and bigger houses. God told me to move. I can expect more and bigger houses, more oxen or sheep or asses, men servants, maid servants, more gold or silver, more power and prestige. He was not thinking of any of such things in his mind. He was thinking of spiritual wealth and benefits. Following the Lord is so good. He was thinking beyond the earthly. He was thinking beyond the material. He was thinking about life beyond, life after death. And he knew that the only one who can save him is Jehovah. The Lord Jesus Christ himself will come to die on the cross for his sins, shedding his precious blood, and then to rise on the third day. Now, Jesus had not yet come. But you know, the faith of Abraham is such that he was thinking spiritually. He was looking ahead with eyes of faith. How do we know this? How do we know that Abraham was having faith in the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come? We know this from the words of Jesus himself. You turn to John 8:56. John chapter 8, verse 56. Here Jesus made a remarkable statement concerning Abraham. John 8, 56. And here we read. Jesus said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. He rejoiced to see my day, the day of Christ. The day when Christ will come. God becoming flesh, becoming man. And as fully God and fully man, in one person, how he would keep the law to earn the righteousness that we need. How he would then offer himself as a sacrifice for our sins on the cross, shedding his precious blood. And then on the third day, to rise from the dead, so that he might be our life giver." Abraham saw the day of Christ. How did he see the day of Christ? Which happened 2,000 years later. He saw it with eyes of faith. Faith based on what? Faith based on God's word. All the prophecies, all the promises that God had made. From before Abraham until the time of Abraham. The scriptures that he had. The revelation that he had at that time. Although it was not full revelation, as we have today, all 66 books of the Bible, whatever revelation he had at that time, limited though they may be, but nonetheless sufficient, the prophecies and the promises that God had spoken to him were enough for him to see and understand that he needed a Savior. And this Savior will be the Messiah, the promised seed that will come in the future. And I have faith on this Savior. I look ahead, look forward to him. What he will do for me. And since God has prophesied and promised that this will happen, surely it is good as has already happened as far as Abraham was concerned. And I look forward to this Savior, to the cross. Of course, we in the New Testament look back at the cross. We too did not see Jesus dying on the cross. We did not see Jesus being buried in the tomb. We did not see Jesus raised from the dead. But we believe nonetheless, don't we? Based on what? Based on what God has said in His Word. All the revelation we have received. We look back to the cross with eyes of faith. And then we understand. You see? Abraham was the father of faith. And if we believe like Abraham, then we are children of faith as well. His children. Abraham's children. So take note of this. And we desire not that which is, when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we are not thinking of how successful we can be in life to make more money or to live in bigger houses. We think of the home that Jesus is going to prepare for us in heaven. We look forward to that day. We look forward to the second coming of Christ. He has not come yet, Jesus promised. He will return, and faith would require us to look forward to His coming. And as much as, you know, He had promised to come the first time, He came. He promised to come the second time. He will come. And we believe He will come very soon. So keep on believing. Keep on trusting the Lord. Desire for spiritual things, not the material. The material will all pass away one day. But that which is spiritual is eternal. That will last forever. This world is not our home. We are just a passing through. We often sing this chorus. Like Abraham, all these things are only temporary. I look for things that are permanent and eternal in the Lord Jesus Christ. And how we must have that kind of faith today. That's why the prosperity gospel is a false gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be rich and wealthy, successful, you'll never get sick. And everybody crowd, you know, such mega churches because they want to hear that which is carnal, that which is worldly, very seductive. And it gives false hope. It is a false faith. A false gospel that is preached today in many a mega church. We believe in the good news of Jesus Christ, which will grant us spiritual benefits that are unimaginable. And the glories that await us, I think no words can tell or explain, express. We must get there to see and to understand what they are. And they are all waiting for us. If we have faith. What is faith? Faith is taking God at His word. Faith is being willing to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is desiring for spiritual and not material things. May we have this kind of faith that Abraham had. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy good word. How we thank Thee, O Lord, for the faith that You have given to us. We know that faith is a gift. It's a gift from Thee. And help us, Lord, to cultivate this faith in our life, that as the days go by, our faith might be strengthened. That we will never, never depart from Thee, but always confess Thee, trust in Thee, hope in Thee. And we know, O Lord, that Thou hast a good plan for each and every one of us who belong to Thee. Thy children. We thank Thee that Thou art our Heavenly Father, and You are a good and perfect Father, a loving Father, and teach us to love Thee as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.